I want to welcome all of you and all our stadium partners. So I think, as most of you know, when this stadium legislation passed, one of the primary focuses that the state had and that I was directed to focus on and think about was the economic impact of this stadium on the state of Minnesota. And that's really, for the last 4 years, something I've kept front and center. So, of course, the early impact was the economic impact from the construction process as well as the design and development process. At the peak, we had over 1,500 workers on site every day. But the number I love to talk about is over 8,000 Minnesota people have worked on this project over the past 4 years. Even more important, perhaps, is the fact that selecting Mortenson Construction and a great Minnesota company has ensured that over 90% of our construction budget has stayed in the state of Minnesota, with over 300 Minnesota companies actually working and being involved on this project. From a workforce standpoint, we had some really aggressive equity goals that everyone thought might not be met. Not only have we met and exceeded those goals, it's been done in a way that you've never seen before. We far exceeded our women and minority-owned business goals. The women-owned business goal was 11%, and we actually have 16% of the work going to women-owned businesses. And the minority-owned business goal was 9%, and we actually ended up with 12% of the work going in that direction. And the same thing for the workforce. The 6% goal for women workers actually grew to 9%. And the 32% for minority workers grew to 36%. When the Metrodome was originally built in this location, it was surrounded by empty parking lots all over. There was always a hope that economic development would follow, and as we all know, it never did. People asked, why in the world would you take the same site that was really, from an economic standpoint, such a loser, and put this facility there yet again? And essentially what we did in working with our great architects, HKS, is make sure that we designed a building that was going to attract economic investment, that people would want to be around, would want to be part of. And this building in every way is connected to the neighborhood, it's connected to the river, and it's connected to the city. And it obviously is an iconic building that people want to be there. With its cutting-edge design and all the amenities around it, we have attracted economic investment that has never been seen. Before our building even opens, we have over $1 billion in economic investment that already is either underway, already finished, or permitted in process. We have a map here that demonstrates what that impact is. You see that we have 5 apartment complexes that actually are in process right around here. We have 5 office buildings, office towers that are either built or already in process of being built. We have 4 hotels in this neighborhood that are either under construction or have begun the permitting process and are ready to begin. This $1 billion in economic investment is already disproves the notion that stadiums, if done correctly, can in fact invest in the neighborhood. And we have shown that it actually works. I do want to make mention, with the Wells Fargo Towers as being the initial investment, those 2 office towers, that it also enabled us to have that incredible 2-block park that in and of itself was an incredible public-private partnership. That really kick-started all that investment. And both those office towers opened and have employees in there months before the stadium is even completed. The final economic impact is the impact from all the committed events that are already coming to the stadium. Again, before the stadium opens, we have already secured Super Bowl in 2018, which is projected to bring $400 million in economic investment to our state in 2018. And we have the Final Four coming in 2019, which is projected to bring $200 million to our state. We are also a finalist for the X Games, and we would hope we could add that to the list eventually of events that we bring to this great stadium. In addition, I think as everyone knows, we have major concerts already booked. We've got an international soccer game that will open the stadium August 3rd. But what we're really most excited about from the state's perspective is all the many events that will provide public access to the stadium, because that obviously is the most important part from the state perspective of our mission. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to kickstart this by beginning with an open house on Saturday and Sunday this coming weekend, July 23rd and 24th. We already have, get this, over 110,000 tickets have been downloaded for that event. They're free tickets. They're available through Ticketmaster.com. These 100,000 people are not the end. We have room, actually, for many more. They are time tickets. We are starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday and going until 6 p.m. and again 10 a.m. on Sunday and going until 5. So people are spread out through the day. You think about our stadium, obviously, has a massive capacity. We've got about 6,000 people coming. It's amazing the way the tickets turned out. They're really spaced throughout the day, with, albeit the heaviest tickets downloaded for the first 3 hours. We get over 10,000 in the morning. But then throughout the rest of the day, they're really spaced. So I think it's going to be wonderful for people to be able to come and see the stadium. We've got, we've got 12 youth football clinics that are scheduled between August and November that we hope a lot of kids and families take advantage of. From February through April, we will play 24 hours a day, many weeks, baseball games for high schools and colleges. So all those teams don't have to travel outside of Minnesota to get their spring games in. We have everything from Holiday Boutique planned in November, and we've got a marching band competition that will happen in October. And of course, we'll do again the high school football and girls and boys soccer championships in late October and early November. So I tell people when they say, well, I'm not sure I'll ever be able to get to the stadium for any of those big events, I always tell people there are going to be literally hundreds of opportunities in the next couple years for people to come and enjoy it. We are actually announcing today that we're starting our new version of Roller Dome that will kick off September 26th. As you walk the concourse, look at that we have two concourses that go 365 degrees around. So the rollerblade folks and the runners and probably even walkers will be able to come and just enjoy this stadium, and I think that's going to be a great event. So there are many different ways that people will come and enjoy the stadium. I want to mention our ribbon cutting on Friday. Media check-in will be at 10 a.m. So it's going to be a much more detailed check-in process that day, so be sure to be here on time. With that, I'd like to introduce our partner and my friend, Lester Bagley from the Minnesota Vikings.
Thank you for being here, and thanks, Michelle, for the great overview. What an incredible journey it's been. I want to provide Vikings perspective, fan experience, and just generally kind of bring us current with this project. And as many of you know, this was a 12-year process at the legislature, and then the design construction process has taken an additional 4 years. So with 16 years under our belt for many of us, we're now 3 days away from the official opening of U.S. Bank Stadium, and we're very excited about what this brings. This is clearly a team effort, a collaborative effort, an incredible effort leading up to the passage of the legislation with business and labor, the governor, and city, Democrats, Republicans, and Viking fans that helped deliver the bill. Since then, it's been an incredible partnership with the Stadium Authority and Michelle and Ted Mondale, as well as obviously HKS designed the beautiful building, and Mortensen built this building that's obviously, by looking at it, you can tell it's been built with love and by people who care. So it's been a great partnership. Looking forward to working with SMG and Aramark moving forward into the new building. So just a couple quick comments about where we are. The bill that passed the legislature was a $975 million deal. That was May of 2012. Since then, and of that 975, the Vikings contributed in $477 million. Since then, the additional contributions come from the Wilf family and the Vikings in the amount of $130 million. So the team/private contribution is now at $607 million of this $1.1 billion stadium. So the team and private side is in for 54% of the capital cost. In addition, the team pays $10 million a year in rent and capital improvements. So we have the highest rent in the NFL, and we're paying a significant portion of the operating expenses and costs of the building. So from the beginning, the vision of the Vikings has been, let's create a building that has the best fan experience in the league. And we think you'll see today that we think we've delivered that great fan experience. And that a lot of that $130 million investment over the last 3 years has gone specifically and directly to fan amenities, whether it be technology or elevators, escalators, some of the great additions in the art program, the legacy ship that Tanya Dreesen will talk about in a little bit, and John Penhollow will talk about the technology. A lot of our additional investment has gone to those amenities that will benefit our fans directly. So when you walk in, and many of you have been here, but some of you have not, but when you walk into the bowl and you get this sense, this intimate feeling that this bowl is very intimate, this experience is going to be an electric atmosphere on game day when the stadium is full. And we got and again, John will talk about technology, but the scoreboards with where they're located, the 10th largest scoreboards in the league, but we think they're the best because of where they're located, right in your direct line of vision. The app, the fan experience, the engagement that you'll experience, double the concourse width in many cases, double the restrooms than the Metrodome, but just a tremendous feeling for fans when you get in the building. This roof product that you've heard and that the HKS will talk about is incredible to deliver this indoor-outdoor feel that we've wanted. Get the feeling of the elements with a great venue and a great feeling on game day. Sidelines and suites and seats that are closer to the action than any in the league. So the good news in terms of sales for us is that our fans have responded. In terms of sales, we are now, of the 49,000 stadium builders licenses that were for sale, we have less than 700 remaining. So we're down to the very few. Of the 131 suites, we have one left to sell. So to suffice it to say that our fans have responded. We have more than 60,000 seats committed of the 66,200 approximately that are in the building. So, and by our first game, we'll be down to single game tickets, which will be going on sale tomorrow. We'll have less than 4,000 per game to sell each game. So again, you'll see and you'll hear that we've delivered a spectacular building and fan experience. We have an interactive and engaged and memorable experience for fans. It's a tremendous benefit to Minnesota. Michelle talked about the economic impact, the jobs. You'll hear about the local food, the local art project. The Super Bowl Final Four will enhance our brand as a state and as a region. So tremendous benefit to Minnesota. We're very proud to be partners and very excited about opening this incredible building. August 3 for the Champions Cup. It will be a great first kickoff to the building with both AC Milan and Chelsea FC playing in the stadium. And then for Viking games, August 28th is our first game. It's a preseason game against San Diego. It's a noon Sunday game. It's the third game of the preseason, which is when the starters play three quarters. We expect it to be a dress rehearsal. We expect the crowd to be electric and to be a great game. Nationally televised first game will be a preseason game. And then, of course, we kick off this new era in Vikings football on September 18th when our arch-rival Green Bay Packers come in. And that experience that evening is going to be incredible. Our fans will get to see a great young Viking football team playing in this incredible U.S. Bank Stadium. So we're very excited. Thanks for being here. I look forward to talking to you through throughout this morning. With that, I'll ask Brian Truby from HKS, the architects who designed this beautiful building. Brian.
As you can imagine, being here today is kind of unusual. We've talked about, for an architect anyway, we've talked about this building. We've designed it. We've worked on it in one form or another since really 2009. And to be here and have the building be the biggest part of our presentation today is something that's actually quite unusual, really. If you're familiar with our buildings, AT&T Stadium, Lucas Oil Stadium, and anything we're about to do in Los Angeles for the Rams, you know that we focus on two things primarily in our design practice. One is we want to create the most flexible, multi-purpose buildings. And what you're going to witness today as you walk through is the most flexible, multi-purpose building on the planet of its kind today. You'll see that as you walk around. I mean, in terms of the amount of events that we can have and the amount of experiences that one can have as you literally make your way around the building and experience different events from different perspectives in the building. The other thing that we really focus on as a practice is creating buildings that are iconic. Iconic in terms of being a unique expression of the local culture. If you look at our built projects, you'll see that they're completely different in the fact that they reflect the uniqueness of the environment that they were built in. So before we're architects, we're actually anthropologists, and we engage in very deep research in terms of where we're going to build our buildings and what is the culture like. How should this building express itself in a way that's completely unique to this culture and this environment? So the four things that really we focused on here, and we had a rich assortment of things to focus on in Minnesota. First, we focused on climate. One of the most unique climates that a building of this type has ever been built in. And so the very shape of the building is formed to actually respond to the climate, very similar to the way structures built in this type of climate around the world have been built for thousands of years. So that gave us our very unique peaked single ridge roof form. We wanted to create a building that responded to geography. Very angular geography that comes many times from the Great Plains and, of course, the ice formations that happen here. When people say this building looks like a ship, we like that. When people say this building looks like an ice shard, we like that. When people say this building looks like things that come from either the brand of the team that plays here or the culture that the building was built in, that means that we've been successful in building a building that actually creates an appropriate response to how unique this environment really is. Excuse me. We also wanted to create an important civic structure. Minneapolis and Minnesota has a long history of developing civic structures that show themselves in a modern, progressive expression. And so you see that in this building, in the in the actual form of the building, the very modern materials that we use, and the way all those materials are fit together in a very modern progressive expression. You know, that really leads us to technology. And you'll see a number of different types of technology in this building, not just literal digital and video technology, but the way the building actually responds to the environment and the way the building interacts with the environment. And I'd like to introduce my partner, John Hutchings, who worked with me and the rest of our team very closely on this building over the last 4 years, to talk a little bit about what we call authentic sustainability.
When all of you get the opportunity to go into the seating bowl, one of the first things that jumps out at you is the ETFE roof. Big, long technical name. It's been around since the 50s, but this is the largest application of that roof material in this hemisphere, both North and South America. There's over 200,000 square feet, and it lets the daylight into the seating bowl. So as opposed to what was here with the Metrodome and a fabric roof that was hermetically sealed, you can see blue sky and white clouds and a lot of daylight, which reduces our lighting load. So right off the bat, we've helped design, and Mortensen has helped build something that has sustainability at its roots. One of the reasons we talk about authentic sustainability is that the roof form itself, when we did Lucas Oil, we did a hard roof, and the snow load was less, but we used more steel, 1,000 tons less here than we did in a lighter snow load. So we had heavier snow here, but yet we saved money by getting the snow off the roof into the gutters at the sides. Of course, the site itself, we were thrilled when it was chosen to keep the Metrodome site, because there's light rail on the site. So once all of the lines are created for the Met Transit system, over one third of the people that attend this will come via mass transit, which is a very sustainable approach. We use low flow fixtures in our restrooms. We reduced irrigation by 50%. We did all the right things. We were required by contract to meet LEED sustainability. So whereas Lucas Oil and AT&T Stadium aren't LEED certified buildings, this one is going to be LEED certified as a contractual requirement of our design. We used, I think the Vikings chipped up in and paid more than $1 million extra to get LED sports lighting. So all the sports lighting provided by Ephesus is LED. So there are a lot of great sustainable stories here. You'll notice the skylight around the clerestory glazing around the perimeter of the building in the morning and the evenings. It lets in light throughout the seating bowl, and we really do like the way light, and of course the view towards downtown with the big doors is something else that helps lower the light usage. We have LED lights throughout the facility, which also cut down on the energy consumption for the building, and the mechanical systems, of course, are designed as high efficiency. We did some interesting things with the heating, where we can reverse the ETFE, lets the heat in, but it stays up above people, stays up in the top of that sloped roof area. And we reverse the air conditioning system, and we can pump that heated air back down to the lower levels of the stadium in the winter when it's cold. So we've got some innovative things that are first offs for an NFL stadium, and we're very proud of the sustainable story for U.S. Bank Stadium. The one other thing I wanted to talk to you about is having, this is not my first rodeo. I was in charge of Lucas Oil Stadium there in Indianapolis, and Miller Park, a ballpark down the road or over in the road in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee. But so I've been around a lot of construction. But the level of craftsmanship of this building is the best of any stadium in North or South America. I'm very pleased to introduce the contractor, John Wood, who is Senior VP with Mortensen. who, with their subcontracting partners, delivered the most finely crafted stadium in North and South America, in our opinion.
It's been my privilege to lead the construction team on the project over the course of the last 4 years, and especially my privilege to work alongside Michelle and Tad with the MSFA and the fine designers and technicians from HKS and, of course, the Minnesota Vikings. Really, I think any way that one chooses to measure the success of a construction project, this project has been incredibly successful. We completed the project on schedule, in fact, 6 weeks ahead of schedule, and under budget. As Michelle described, we have exceeded all of the goals that the state and the city of Minneapolis and the community established for the project in terms of the equity plan participation, that being the engagement of women-owned, minority-owned, and veteran-owned businesses in the project, as well as employment. And I won't repeat the statistics that Michelle described to you earlier, but the employment of local businesses, local workers, the reinvestment of the construction dollars in the local community with the over 300 local companies that were engaged in the project, something that I think we can all feel very proud of. We have a statement at Mortenson in our sports construction business, and it's simply done means done. If you have had the opportunity to be involved in the opening or observe the opening of one of these major facilities around the country in the past, it is not uncommon. In fact, it's probably more the rule than the exception that there's lots of construction workers around on opening day and even months into the operation of the building during its first season of operation. That's not the way we do it at Mortenson. And we promised the MSFA and the Vikings that when opening day occurred on this project, and they'll only ever have one, that the project would be perfect, it would be complete in every way. And we are achieving that. By the first event, which is the soccer match on August 3rd that Lester mentioned, as a former Brit, I can only say I wish we could have had a couple of good teams, but there won't be a single open punch list item yet to be completed on this project. The project will be totally complete. So I'd just like to express again my gratitude and thanks for Mortenson and our associates at Thor Construction for having the privilege to be part of the project. I led a team of about 60 professionals on the Mortenson management team, a relatively young team made up of managers and engineers that worked tirelessly to complete this project. They put in very long days, but you'll hear a lot of statistics today about the project, you know, 18,800 tons of steel, 110,000 yards of concrete. One of my favorite statistics, though, is that to those 60 members of the Mortenson project team, we had 14 babies born during the course of this project. So there was a lot of long days, but there was still room for a little extracurricular activity. But thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you. I'll be available later, as will other speakers, for any questions that you might have about the detail of the construction of the project. Thank you. With that, I'm going to introduce Patrick Talty, the general manager of U.S. Bank Stadium for SMG. Patrick?
Kind of appropriate that John got to introduce me and kind of hand the baton off. On behalf of SMG, I want to first thank the Vikings and the Minnesota Sports and Facilities Authority for allowing us to be stewards of this amazing building that HKS has designed. And as Brian Truby mentioned, this is a very multi-purpose building. It is an amazing building. I think it's the crown jewel in the 230 buildings that we manage worldwide, as well as the five other NFL stadiums. But I am a little biased. But I think it's going to be an amazing facility. And Michelle mentioned all the events that we have scheduled and booked in this facility. And all those events truly highlight the multi-purpose function of this building. But to achieve all those events, it takes an operations team, much like John was talking about. There'll be 60 individuals who will tirelessly work to change this building over, to operate this building for all those events. You know, there'll be hours and hours of behind-the-scenes work to prepare the building, from cleaning it, to maintaining it, to setting it up, to preparing for all those events. And the staff is excited. We can't wait. We've been waiting for this day for a long time, and now we're on stage and we're excited about it and getting ready for the building. But of course, not only, as Lester said, this is a great building for the fans, and I do think it is a very fan-focused building, that also means that the staff has to be fan-focused, and we have to have a customer service program that brings that to life. The building is just a building until it comes to life, and this amazing Minnesota workforce that we've hired to manage the stadium, to work game days. We'll have over 3,000 employees between food service and operations and security that will be working the facility, and they come from the community, they come from Minnesota, and they're proud and they're happy to be here and represent. But they are going to be customer focused to bring this building to life, to provide that customer focus that Lester talked about. As they mentioned, August 3rd is our first event. We have the Chelsea versus AC Milan. Tickets are still available. I can't miss that plug, so please get them. You don't want to miss that exciting night. It's going to be an amazing event, and we're looking forward, and the staff is very excited to be able to open the doors, welcome you, welcome the people of Minnesota, and be on stage and live for the first time ever. And once again, I want to thank the authority and the Vikings for allowing us to be stewards. We will take care of it, and we'll make everyone in the state of Minnesota proud. So thank you. I want to introduce Jamie Hodgson with M Hospitality, your food and beverage provider, the guy who actually gets to provide you the good food.
Aramark is very excited to be partnering with the Minnesota Sports Facility Authority, SMG, the Minnesota Vikings, to enhance the food experience here at U.S. Bank Stadium. You know, our goal when we came in here a year and a half ago was really to take all the local, modern food opportunities in this city and really enhance what has been built by HKS and by Mortensen. And we think we've done a really good job at that. We'll do this by working with a variety of different partners here in this town, and really taking it to the premier level that enhances that experience. We're particularly proud of some of the partners that we've partnered with, and you guys have, over time, have seen some of our press conferences we've had, and we go from a wide range of partners. We have Andrew Zimmern, which I think everybody's familiar with, Gavin Kayson over at Spoon and Stable, all the way down to some restaurants that maybe we're not so familiar with. And that was really our goal when we came into this, was not to have these large restaurants, but really give opportunities to those smaller businesses. And I say small, but they're really not small, because for them, this is a great opportunity, and their businesses are really large. So in some of those, you know, that we're talking with, you know, T-Rex Cookies, Tino Rexing, an individual that was in the corporate world, decided to give it up 16 months ago, and now she's doing this great cookie, and I'm sure some of you have seen around town, and now she has an opportunity to be in this stadium in front of 66,000 fans. So very exciting for her. Another one we're particularly proud of is Our Taco, which is a local restaurant here in town. Great tacos. So excited about that. One of the ones that you'll see in the stadium is Twin Cities Foodie. It's a collaboration between three local chefs. And if you're familiar with the food world, trying to get three chefs into one room is very difficult, because they all like to do their own thing. Chefs like to do their own single thing. But when we approached the idea of this, we put them together and we said, this is what we'd like you guys to do. Will you please do this? And they were all jumping at it. And that's one of the unique features of this building. So it just doesn't have your basic food, which we'll have plenty of between the brats and hot dogs and things like that, but you're going to have some of that unique qualities of food here in the building. So I'd be remiss not to talk about our beer partnerships as well. In addition to Miller Coors, we've got a lot of local partners in the stadium, and that will enhance that experience with the Miller Coors products. The Northeast Brewery District is another one of those local areas, that takes us to that next level. We're partnering with five or six different partners up in that area and rotating them through on a daily or a game-by-game basis. And that's a really exciting thing that's just not seen in some stadiums around the country. In addition to the great local partnerships, we'll have our own themed concepts here in the stadium. So one of the Aramark themed products is Burger Kitchen. So it's a proprietary brand that we're creating for this stadium. And once it goes here, we'll make it in our company-wide. So with that, we're very excited to be here. Great opportunity for M Hospitality and Aramark. So thank you very much. With that, I'd like to introduce John Palenhollow, the Vice President of Corporate Partnerships and Technology. He's going to talk about the technology in the stadium.
Thank you in advance to everything you guys are going to do today and certainly later this week. As many of our colleagues have already shared, we're ridiculously excited to finally open the doors. It's been a lot of hard work from a lot of different groups, some of which aren't here today because they're still running around trying to make sure this is ready. But before we really walk into just the really broad overview of what we decided to do on the technology side, it's important to know that the Vikings were a part of it, but we weren't the only ones. There's a few members of the team who aren't here right now, but James Farstead, who is the technology consultant that worked closely with Michelle and her team, on the Mortensen team, a very long list of guys that helped us pull this off, but Kevin Gallagher and Eric Renz, we wanted to make sure we mentioned them in particular. And then also on the SMG side, he was a little bit late to the party, but David Kingsbury from SMG really helped us kind of push things over the finish line near the end. So what we decided to do right about when Brian and Hutch and the guys were coming up with this amazing design is, how are we going to tackle technology? We didn't want to get caught in the trap of saying this is the most advanced stadium around, because the reality is a lot of what we're putting into the stadium, there are bits and pieces of it that are being used all over the world in some way, shape, or form. That said, how could we bundle all of the stuff you're about to learn about today and see as you walk around into one package that gives all of our fans, not just Vikings fans, but any fan, sports, entertainment fans going to enter this building? How can we bundle it together in such a way that it enhances the experience? Can we use that same technology to affect your experience from the moment you leave your driveway? Hopefully you have a great day with us, whether we win or whether we don't win. And how can we affect that experience as you travel home? So for us, it started with dealing with some of the infrastructure, which is a lot of stuff behind the scenes that many of you as fans won't see, but it's hopefully going to help power the experience. So the distributed antenna system, the DAS system, you may hear us say that once in a while, that was really a fundamental core piece of what we had to put in. It's a series of antennas that will get placed around the building, and essentially that enables all of you to use your cell phone. As crazy as that is, we can't get away with having you come to the building and only getting one bar or two bars on your phone. It needs to work when you need to use it, whether it's because you need to call home to check on the kids or just to check on a friend or call for a ride, whatever it's going to be. So Verizon was hired to come onto the project and build a neutral host DAS. That simply just means that it shouldn't matter who your carriage partner is, whether it's Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile. You should be able to come into the building and have a great, powerful signal. For us, though, that was certainly one major piece. But what's everything behind the scenes is what we call a local area network or a LAN infrastructure. That's what really powers the building for us. It's all the stuff behind the walls that helps us do what we need to do on the Wi-Fi side. It's what will help Jamie power the POS system. It's what will help Patrick's team operate security cameras and everything else. So that LAN infrastructure put in by CenturyLink was crucial to us because that set the table. And what it set the table for was the fun stuff we like to talk about, the Wi-Fi, which will be built in such a way that theoretically all 66,000 of us for a Vikings game could jump onto the Wi-Fi. Reality is not all 66,000 will today. That's okay. But if we follow some of the trends that are out there, Levi Stadium, a beautiful, amazing building on the West Coast, they have about 30, 31,000 for a typical 49ers game. So we think we're just as progressive, if not more progressive here, in terms of use of technology. So we need to build the system in such a way that it's ready for at least that type of coverage. So that's going to be powered by a few more than 1,300 access points placed around the building. What will also be embedded into the Wi-Fi system is a series of beacons that will be placed around the building. The beacons is what's going to help power as you move around the building and your wayfinding within the app, which we'll talk about in 1 second. So the next big piece was we have some of this new technology utilized. We're getting great signal coverage. We're allowing you to move around the building. But it's on us as an operator to now push out great content. And that's being done from a control room, which we believe is state-of-the-art. There are a number of control rooms, production and control rooms built around the country, but we think that through the help of the guys at Mortensen and HKS, we designed the best one that's out there. So that's going to enable for Vikings games, Brian Harper and his team to push out great content to the two video boards, the LED boards, the 2,000-plus televisions, to the LED sale you're going to see outside later. It's going to allow us to really push that game day experience to a new level. What happens next is you're in the building. Many of you know some of the details, and if it's your first time, you're about to see it here in a few minutes. But the video boards, as Lester mentioned, very, very low to the field, about as low as we could possibly push it without getting a call from the league office. So thanks, Hutch, for kind of getting to the one-inch line there. The over 3,000 linear feet of LED technology that's just on the upper and club level, which you'll see, we're up to now over 30,000 square feet worth of LED technology from Daktronix, which is amazing. As many of you may know, it's a South Dakota company, but Minnesota plants and all of the technology you're going to see out there is actually built in Redwood Falls. Very exciting for us to be able to do that. The television, some of which you see in this space, this beautiful wall that's above us, 16 video walls. So when you hear us say video walls, that's an array of TVs right above us right now. This is actually the biggest one right above you, a 4x4. There's a 3x3, and then the rest of them are 2x3s. That's going to allow us to show great game content, great messaging, great wayfinding messaging to help you move around the building. So take notice of that today, and certainly ask us any questions about, you know, how we plan to use some of it on a game day. Really, the final piece to the puzzle was great infrastructure, great bowl technology from equipment perspective. Now it's the stuff that a lot of us are really getting into now with the app. So we launched the Vikings app night of draft night. It launched successfully. We've made some tweaks even since then, though. The premise behind what the app was for us, if many of you had the old Vikings app, it was built on content. Beautiful app, it worked well, but it had no utility. The way we're moving now in terms of digital ticketing, instant replay access, we know that we needed to step up what that app was. So we partnered with Venue Next on something that hopefully many in this room already have the Vikings app. If you don't, we'll do a little test here before we leave to make sure you have it. But that's really step one. Step two is going to be the U.S. Bank Stadium app, which will be a very, very close sister to what that app is. It's going to have the same look and feel, same utility. That's what you'll use to come into concerts, to any of the family events that will be here at the stadium. For Vikings events, you'll have the Vikings app, and that will allow you to access the building in a way perhaps you wouldn't have thought of just a couple of years ago. So again, what we mentioned earlier, it's not for us to say that we're the most advanced. We do believe that the way we've bundled it together and the partners we have on board, we're built for today. Frankly, we're built for Super Bowl, we believe. It doesn't mean there won't be some more tweaks before the Super Bowl gets here, but we think we built this in such a way that all of the fans here will appreciate. We're excited to open here in the next few days, and we certainly look forward to having all of you here over the next 30 years plus. So thanks for your time. Next, we're going to have, for us, we believe the secret weapon for the Minnesota Vikings on the executive team here. Tanya Dreesen is Vice President for Partnership Activation and Special Projects. So she helps our team do a lot of what you're going to see on the partnership and the branding and everything else. But what she's going to talk about today is actually the other part of what she has to do, and that's the special projects.
I do believe that I have one of the most exciting parts to the stadium to talk to you guys about today. And we're excited that you're now in the building and you'll be able to see everything that we've been working on for the past 2 years, I guess now, in these areas. So John had mentioned special projects. So what's that mean? So that means on the team side, what can we do in the stadium that will plus it up for fans? What can we do in the stadium so that you know you are in the Minnesota Stadium? The Minnesota Vikings live here. This is our headquarters. This is where we call home. So what can we do to give it more personality? So you close your eyes and you open up, you know exactly where you're standing. So we did one thing, and that was about a year and a half ago, is we did a call for artists. And the call for artists asked local artists, national ones submitted as well, send us examples of your work because we want to honor you, we want to show you off in the stadium. We received over 1,100 entries in the call for artists. And now we can say happily that we have installed over 300 pieces of original artwork, about 250 pieces of framed photography. Wall graphics, which you'll see as once you tour the stadium, represent about 12,000 square feet. But the signature part are the two bold murals we have on the main concourse. One's about 25 yards long, the other one is about 35 yards long. And they represent Minnesota. The collection represents what we are here in the North. Some people say the Midwest, we say in the North. We honor the North, we're the bold of the North. But we also want to honor other sports here in the Twin Cities. And then of course, salute the Minnesota Vikings past and present. And so you'll see that with different types of installations. This particular installation that we have here in the Medtronic Club is done by a local artist by the name of Gary Welton. And there are layers to this story. Gary has actually studied the constellation and plays and retired numbers and has layered them all together. That with silhouettes of football players with just a touch of purple. So you'll see those throughout this space here. Or you'll look at the murals. You'll see one by local artist Greg Gossel. It's pop art. It's young, it's athletic, it's energetic, lots of movement to it. Or you go on the other side of the concourse, on the north side, and you have the MCAD artists, Ed Charbonneau and Jeremy Shapinsky. They studied the Fibonacci theory. The Fibonacci theory is all about the golden spiral. Perfect for us, of course. We all aim for the perfect golden spiral. And so they've honored that through their art. And there's much more, and I know I only have 5 to 7 minutes, so I won't go any further into the individual pieces. But the art collection we are especially proud of because it really is our thank you to the community for their support over the years and our way to honor this robust art community that's here in the Twin Cities. The second piece. We are especially excited today for this. It's the Legacy Ship. And we're excited today because pulling up in front of the stadium are two lowboys carrying parts of the Legacy Ship, which is starting to be installed today. The Legacy Ship, located on Medtronic Plaza, is a ship that we've designed, which is iconic with what we honor, with our heritage, with Minnesota, and it's a long ship modeled after a Drakkar, which is what the Vikings used when they were in battle. And this ship is about 150 feet long once it's fully installed from bow to stern. The sail will stand 53 feet off the ground. It will have a iconic, very bold, dramatic dragon head with glowing purple eyes, naturally. Our horns that we carry on our helmet will be built into the dragon head. But the piece that you're all seeing right now, which is already installed, is the sail. So again, wanting to be original and different and having energy behind everything that we do, being innovative and progressive, we designed a sail along with Daktronix. It's a curved LED video board. It's about 2,000 square feet in size. You can see that's lit up now. It had a beautiful sign on it this morning. Along with the ship, though, will be shields along the side, about 5 feet in diameter. They'll honor the founding partners of the stadium. Many of them are headquartered here in the Twin Cities and will tell their incredible founding story. And then the last piece to finish the ship, to make it that special, will be the 14,000 legacy bricks that fans bought here. Fans actually all over the world bought these bricks. 14,000 of them will create the deck of the ship. All right, last piece. We announced this last week. In keeping with our theme of a ship and the art, we announced last week the voyage, the Vikings voyage. This is our interactive fan experience center. This is where we're taking history and heritage and technology, as John had mentioned, and we're merging them together. So the voyage will be open to all season ticket holders on game day, and it will also be open on Vikings events as well. You will be a free entry with your ticket to the stadium. It's a 10,000 square foot space located above the team store. And you will go into this space and you will learn about the Vikings through video and through experience. In experience, there'll be four areas. With an RFID band, you will be able to test your strength. You'll see where you line up, how fast you can run, how high you can jump, how hard you can push, and how well you can catch. You'll do that all with an RFID band. You'll compete against your friends. You'll see the tracking, see how you rank compared to some of the professional athletes out there. But this is our space where we have our fans come in and experience what it means to be a Vikings fan. And again, through video and through technology. And so as you've seen quite a bit now, we are happily embracing Open the Gates, because we're ready, we're here. And I thank you all for listening, and we're going to be around for questions later.